You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Find me in your mercy, Lord. Align me till I'm wholly yours. In all the hidden places.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16-17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. And I'm here with, well, actually, I am Karen Hubbard, for those that don't know. And I'm here with Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
And Cynthia West.
Good morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that little portion of that song there, which is kind of interesting that I had been listening to that this morning. I heard it last week sometime. I don't even know how old the song is. But anyway, so I was listening to it this morning, both with the lyrics, and then I just put the instrumental on, so it was kind of neat. So it's called Yahweh Sabaoth, and that's Nathaniel Bassey. So when I came in this morning, here I have a nice little scripture that Dave left for me. So this is how God works in confirming his word. So he left me this scripture, Isaiah 14:27. This is from the English Standard. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?
Amen. What is that? Sorry, Isaiah 14.
Isaiah 14:27.
Thank you.
And also, let me just put a little note here about the Lord of hosts in Hebrew. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Jehovah of armies, as all the heavenly bodies were called, the hosts of heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Jehovah being called the Lord of the host, yes, showed that he was their maker and governor. And consequently, he, not they, was the proper object of religious worship. The sun, moon, planets, and stars were the highest objects of religious worship to the heathens in general. The Jewish religion, teaching the knowledge of a being who was the Lord of all of these, showed at once its superiority to all that heathenism could boast. This is the first place where the Lord of hosts is mentioned in the Bible. And it's much in the style of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And it's mentioned over 285 times in Scripture, which I didn't have the time to go look up all of those things. And so now I had been telling Cynthia and Nanette that I felt like I needed to talk about the Olympics because I've been watching the Olympics, not the opening stuff. But the actual... The races, in particular, with those who are racing on the track in their lane. And we know what Scripture says about, you know, those that are running the race, you know, that you race to win, right? So yeah. In 1 Corinthians 9, let me go there, 1 Corinthians 9, that, you know, who gets in a race if you don't not trying to win? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what they're doing with the Olympics. And anyway, just so there's many things. This is really the first time I've watched pretty much every, the 100 meters, the 400 meters, both men's and women's. And, you know, and they're talking about this person and that person and all the different ones who they're expecting to win. But I've been noticing that a lot of people are giving God the glory. I don't know if this has happened in years past. You know, you'd hear about people, yes, you know they're Christians, so they give God glory. But, I mean, these Olympians are really being bold about their faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, there's some little pushback with the guy with the surfboard who they told him to take the name of Jesus off of his surfboard. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it wasn't him that won, it was another guy from their country that won, that's a believer. And then the women's race, I don't remember the lady's name, but clearly way out in front of everybody else. And then the lady from St. Lucia, you know, St. Lucia has never won an Olympic medal ever. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what they said. St. Lucia, the Philippines, and Botswana. All three of them, there may be more, none of those countries have ever won a medal. And you can probably guarantee that each of those people are humble before the Lord. Mm-hmm. I feel like what I've been observing watching it is that God is raising up those who are not tooting their own horns.
Did each one of those give glory to God?
Yes.
Good.
Well, the guy from Botswana, I didn't hear anything from him, so.
Okay.
But we're, you know, amen. We're trusting and believing. Mm. And then the other guy, the American guy, so there was that competition going on between the one from Norway and I think the other one was Great Britain. Mm-hmm. So they had this thing, you know, so that all the attention was on these two guys that were going to try to outdo each other. So as they're like, I don't know how many feet or yards from the finish line, you know, they're checking for each other. You know, one's looking over, the other one's looking over. And then neither of them were paying attention to the American guy that was coming up behind them that had found an opening.
Wow.
And ended up getting the gold medal.
Wow.
So anyway, there's some, you know, some great spiritual parallels that I'm seeing in there too, is that, you know, you stay in your lane, only do what you're supposed to do, you know, keep your eye on the goal.
And, hey, that's my husband's quote.
Stay in your lane. Yeah, me too.
Stay in your lane.
That's mine too, because it's, you know, I learned the hard way. You know, we learn a lot by what we suffer.
And I did. Tell us about it.
Yeah, learned that a while back, just... You know, you take care of yourself, and like that lady, I don't want to say what her name is, but I remember seeing a video from her that she said, if I'm over here in my business, and you're over here in my business. Who's taking care of your business? So anyway, that's the lesson for me. Stay in your lane and really keep your eye on the prize. Mm-hmm. You know, and as believers, Jesus is the prize, and our complete surrender to Him and laying down our lives for Him and for His plans and for His purposes, you know, that's really the goal for our lives, is to become all that He created us to become. You know, you look at these athletes and, you know, we're just seeing like 120 seconds or however long it takes them to run that.
Yes.
That's all we're seeing, and it's, you know, hooping and hollering.
Uh-huh.
But yet it's years of them getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and them, you know, not going out with their friends and not eating this and not eating that.
Sacrifice.
That constant training. And that's, you know, the parallel with our spiritual lives.
Amen.
You know, which we always talk about here.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that intimacy with the Lord. And, you know, so when you spend that time with the Lord, then you get the prize. You know, when you get out and do the thing that He's calling you to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that lady, Sydney, I forgot her last, begins with an M, the one that won that major thing. She's a total believer. Somebody asked her, you know, how she felt about it. And she said, well, I'm just here to glorify God.
Amen.
You know, He gave me, she said, He gave me the gift of doing this.
Amen.
And she said she's not even concerned about accolades or anything. She's just concerned with that she's fulfilling God's plan for her life.
Amen.
So praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And you know, that's the spiritual side of it. You know, as far as I think we've all learned that that is our safe place.
Yes.
When you stay in your lane, you're anointed for that place, for that, you know, that the Lord has given you. The door that He opens for you, that is why He will take care of you. He opened that door. He will protect you and take care of you.
Amen.
You know, when you go out and get in trouble and say, okay, Lord, save me now. You know, He said, but I didn't send you there. You know, so, you know, He doesn't say that, but, you know, we do have to think about that. It is relevant to not just go doing something else because somebody else does it, or, you know, they look good doing it. That's their lane, you know.
Yeah.
So that's you know, and I heard the Lord say, whose race are you running? You know, and I think of back through the years, you know, I was running somebody else's race
because
I'm all up, you know, thinking about what they're doing.
And
it's exhausting, really.
Yes.
What's not exhausting is spending that time with the Lord and finding out what He has for you.
Exactly. Like what He's put in you, what He's giving you to return back to Him so that He can receive the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so many of us, again, we want what others have. That has a lot to do with staying in your lane and wanting to jump on someone else's lane. And again, we don't understand the runner's race, what it took for that runner to prepare for that victory, to prepare for that possible end result of finishing. Finishing and finishing, you know, at a greater time, finishing at a greater capacity. And so we have to be content with what He's given us and call it precious, right? And
call
it valuable. And, you know, again, you know, the scriptures is very clear. Some, if we're talking about giftings, let's say, right? You know, the scriptures say some are given, right, to be prophets. Some are given to be apostles.
Amen. Go there.
And then it goes further, and I don't have it in front of me, so again, I'm paraphrasing, but I believe it says, again, to edify, right, the saints, so the saints can go out and do the work, right? So that, to me, again, we're all important to God, but we're not all prophets and apostles.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And teachers. And but our roles are important. We're made in His image.
And we're made for intimacy. Mm-hmm. And we're made to be loved by him. And we're made to worship him. And so we all have, it's like the field workers, right? And the process of the harvest. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the ground, right? The workers that cultivate the land, mm-hmm. to put the seed in, you know, all that that takes place in that ground. But it's also the ones who go ahead and picks up mm-hmm. when the harvest is ready, puts it in the basket, mm-hmm. puts it in the truck, distributes. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at it that way, wow, if we don't each get our part mm-hmm. done and done well and done feeling, wow, this is important to our God. Mm-hmm. What he's given me is important mm-hmm. to him. And mm-hmm. so we should value that. And let's get the work done.
Mm. Amen. I met a precious sister this week recently. And I did ask, I said, you know, do you know what your the Lord, you know, would have you do? She said, I'm a helper. Mm. She thrives in it. She loves it. And then I happened to meet her the following day at another event, and she was a help, and she was in her element.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely in her element. Everything was set out correctly, and that was her, you know, that was her joy, and that was, you know.
Yeah, because when you think about and the letters, she, right?
Yeah.
The letters that, you know, how Paul and Timothy and I think it's James, you know, they said, I am a servant of the Lord,
yeah. mm-hmm.
or I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's just so precious mm-hmm. and powerful. Mm-hmm. Can't we glorify that? You know what I mean? Being a servant,
no,
being a slave of Jesus Christ, because that's what we are.
I think we all are servants.
We
yeah.
are.
Who and are we so, serving if not Christ?
Exactly. So that should be yeah. enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I go on. I'm sorry, sis. I cut you off.
No, that's, you know. You know, that's already gone. I can't remember.
That's why.
We've moved on.
Bring it back.
No, you know, I'm so glad, you know, that despite Satan's obvious, blatant attempt to destroy, to make a mockery of the Olympics, you know, that God has brought forth gold out of that the Olympics. It really, really turned me off from watching it. That's why I haven't watched much of it. I'm grateful to hear that he has been using, his people have been stepping up,
mm-hmm.
stepping up and just speaking and just being. I think this is a time for that. This is for such a time as this. It's time, and you hear it so often, to take a stand. And mm-hmm. you know, people say, oh, what do you mean? Yeah, I'm standing. What does stand mean? Stand means just being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. standing in all that he stands for, that he represents, righteousness and the holiness that he brings. You know, this is what he did. So he stood in the midst of the Romans, in the midst of it was chaotic during Jesus's time. Everybody was looking, the Jews were looking for the Messiah, the Messiah. You know, they were all expectant of him. And that's one of the questions that his disciples kept asking him, when will you bring forth your kingdom? You know, is this the time? So just being a Christian in the very basicness of the word, just standing for the truth, speak the truth, speak God's word, declare what God has written, declare the Lord. You know, if they say, well, you know, are you for this or against that? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Just speaking his word to cut asunder whatever the enemy might try and send our way. You know, it's so important. We had looked at the word chaos, you know, and mm-hmm. Because it seems like that is what is happening. We don't know which end is up, which way is loose. Everything is like, you know, it's chaos. But the Lord had shared with me, he allowed me to see somewhere that the meaning of shalom, one meaning, yes, it means peace, but another meaning of shalom is Jesus is Shalom. Shalom is Jesus, because Jesus is the authority, is the authority that destroys, not disperses it, it destroys it, that destroys chaos. You know, Shalom is Jesus. He is peace. Every area, every part of him, because Jesus is the authority. I think the word authority was used specifically. It's not the power, because power coming against power would, that's, you know, no. Jesus' authority overcomes the power. Stop the power of the storm rising up. That's the authority. Jesus, the authority of Jesus saying, peace, be still, be still. The storm, the power of the storm had to cease. Jesus is the authority that destroys, completely destroys chaos in whatever shape, form or fashion it tries to come in. You know, so for me, I found that very comforting, that no matter what is coming up at the moment, it is the bottom of the pot. The pot is being stirred, the whole world, and wherever you look, there's chaos, mm-hmm. you know. And but the bottom of the pot has to be got to, and it has to be lifted up to the top. And we all know that the bottom of the pot is not, you know, not good. It's what is being hidden? Why is it trying to be hidden? And it's festering, all the festering at the bottom of the pot. And it's coming up and it stinks, absolutely stinks. And it's messy, very, very messy, you know. So this is what we're faced with. And it has to be, it has to come up. But God, you know, that's our Jesus. That's the authority. He's the only one who has the authority to bring shalom out of all of this. And he shall. I believe that's his promise to us. The shalom. You could just hide in that word. I love it. You can just hide in it. I know, I remember I heard a testimony of one of my friends. They said, shalom, the coming forth of the word shalom brought them to their conversion, to accepting Jesus. That's how powerful that word is, you know. And we, each one of us, can take away from this situation every day, every minute of every day. We have the chance and the choice to take away from what is happening around us what we will take away. We can either grab hold of the negativity, or we can grab hold of our Jesus. We are the ones who decide what the takeaway from all of this is. That's why it's a one-to-one basis. The Lord wants to speak to each one of us and say, I'm in this. I, Almighty God, am in this. I am El Shaddai, Almighty God. There is none greater than me. None. If there were, I would know, and I don't know of any greater than me, you know. So when we know we're facing our God right now, in the midst of all that is happening, we are facing our God who knows everything. And again, that's our safety lane. That's our lane of safety. That's our place of safety in the midst of all that is happening. So,
amen. Yeah, and you know, who of us can change anything that's going on the earth?
Hey,
you know, we worry about so many things, mm-hmm. and you know, we're concerned about this and that. Mm-hmm. And you know, a friend sent me a prophetic word yesterday by somebody that, you know, so I was reading it, and it's, oh well, you know, they think this is going to happen and this is going to happen, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm kind of done with, mm-hmm. you know. Well, I don't live my life based on what's happening in the earth. You know, I live my life before the Lord and what he is directing me to do on any given day. You know, and when we continually feed ourselves with the chaos or mm-hmm. All the stuff out there, mm-hmm. then, you know, we begin to feel like we have to do something about it and change it. But, you know, I'm looking for this thing that the Lord said to me. Mm. This just popped up in my mind. The Lord says, the more you pray, the less you say.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Because everybody, we all have opinions and we all have something to say. But mm-hmm. when you pray, you pray about all of these things that you see, and God gives you that shalom, mm-hmm. that peace, mm-hmm. then at that time you're able to speak into those situations. But mm. if you're in the turmoil mm. and in the midst of all of it,
running to and fro. This is what the Lord said. They'll mm-hmm. be running to and fro, you know.
Yes.
Because the enemy is successful in keeping you out there, mm. distracted with shiny objects and, you know, getting involved in stuff that you don't need to be.
The one thing I do know, that I know that I know that I know, is that the word of God, the sword, the word of the Spirit destroys the enemy, whether it's principalities and powers, mm-hmm. rulers in dark places. That's the word of God. That is why Jesus came with the word of mm-hmm. God. You know, we can say it so blatantly. Yes, he defeated Satan with it in the wilderness. It is written. It is written. And the same thing is the same for us today. Those same ugly spirits have come back because the word of God was depleted on the earth, and they've come back. And that is why the gospel, the word of God has to be preached, has to be declared. It must be used plenteous. I'm making up a word now. Plenteous. A lot. Lots of times. As many times during the day. Just stand and declare the word of God. That whether it's by his stripes we are healed. Whether it's the Lord is my shepherd. No matter what it is. At his name, every knee must bow and every tongue confess mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Just declare it. Every time the word of God goes out in the atmosphere, the demons hear it, Satan hears it. It destroys them. It breaks them down. Mm-hmm. And that is why the Lord says, I am the word. I am the word of life. I am the bread of life. You know, eat me, speak me, declare me. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everybody that is listening or, you know, can hear this, please, you know, may I just lift that up right now to you, Father God. Enable us to use your word more, to pick up the sword of the Spirit, to just say thank you, Lord, in the midst of all that's trying to destroy right now. Let your word come forth in us and through us, loud and clear, in whatever situation. Holy Spirit, bring to our remembrance your word. Bring to your remembrance, our remembrance scripture, so that we can stand and declare it. That is how we stand. That is taking a stand, is to speak the truth and say no. It is not right to kill babies in the womb. No, it is not right that a man should be allowed to beat up a woman and get a medal for it. You know, are we really going there? You know, no, it's wrong. And whether it's going to be allowed or not by the, in quotes, so-called authorities, it's wrong. Whether they allow it or whether they don't, it is wrong. You know, so use the word, speak the word, stand in the truth, stand for the truth. For such a time as this, we're on planet Earth. This is our stand. This is our watch. Not on our watch in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right, let's take a quick break here.
Hmm.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we win our battles.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to The Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Hello, friends. This is Paul Wilbur with Integrity Music, and I want to invite you to a very special event. Please join me and my dear friend, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, for an evening of praise and worship and inspiration. Join us with Treasure Coast Christian Alliance Day of Prayer, September 26th, in Venn Center, Fort Pierce, Florida. For more information, go to tccalliance.com. I will stand with Israel.
Amen. We are back. And let's see. Getting myself situated here. Although nobody would know that.
I love the American phrase. I'm fitting to.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't. Oh. No, you didn't. But that would be just one of the phrases.
Okay.
I have happened to pick up in my fitting to.
Yeah. Well, I saw a British phrase the other day, but I can't remember what it was now. And I was going to text you, but I have my new phone, and all my old phone numbers didn't get transferred over, so I wasn't able to text you, and I could not remember your phone number.
I'll tattoo it on your forehead later, okay. Though.
All right. Okay, Nanette.
Ah, I just love our God. I just, you know, even when we can't make sense to something,
amen,
or we don't have it all together,
amen,
and we don't know it all,
amen.
Because I always say, God, when you give me these things, when I believe He's showing me something and giving me something, it's just so far my brain capacity, even just, you know, like the years I've been walking with Him and trying to study and show myself, you know, approve and rightly dividing His word, which is my heart, in more ways than one. And so when I feel like I'm getting something, I feel like just, again, the fear of the Lord, and I may not understand it, but, you know, I'm reminded that God is our Redeemer. And so no matter the chaos going around us, no matter the voices and the things that are pulling our attention, and again, you know, when you mention, you know, where you put that song, you know, the Jehovah Sabaoth, you know, like, and you had mentioned Karen, like, He is the God of the heavenly host, right? The host of His armies, mm-hmm, you know, the commander of His armies.
Amen.
But at the same time, it's like you said, He is over the chaos. And mm-hmm, and even Cynthia had mentioned, He destroys.
Yes.
You know, with Shalom, you know, mm-hmm, you know, like, He destroys the chaos, mm, right? And so I'm just here quiet. And I'm reminded again, you know, the other day as I was praying for Israel, and I know it's just like another side of things, mm-hmm, you know, He had showed me Isaiah 62, and, you know, and this is what stood out, because, just give me a moment, to Lord, you know, I just thank You that this message will come with, mm-hmm, clarity, mm-hmm, and that You be the one to speak, and You will bring understanding to Your people and revelation of who You are. And so, you know, when you go to Isaiah 62, mm-hmm, and I was in the New Living Translation, the things that caught my attention, you know, is Isaiah's prayer for Jerusalem, right? And the things that were catching my attention was the fact that He renames. He gives a name. He gives us a new name.
Amen.
Right? And so, here in Israel, you know, when He's talking about Jerusalem, you know, He says, like in 62:4, He says, never again will you be called the forsaken city.
Amen.
So once Jerusalem was called the forsaken city at that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it says, or the desolate land. Mm-hmm. But it says, your new name, mm-hmm, will be the city of God's delight.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
From a forsaken city, from a desolate land. But yet God says, but your new name,
mm-hmm,
will be a city of God's delight.
Amen.
And the bride of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And He says it in other places, you know, like at the end where He says, and Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place and the city no longer forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
So the word just started stirring up in me. The fact that He, again, gives some a new name.
Mm-hmm.
So, to back that up, right, again, we see that He established, you know, when He gives a new name, He establishes a new identity, but He also, hear this, He says, you know, because the Bible doesn't give us an explanation of His reasons of why He renames, but it says basically, or perhaps, it is to let know that we were destined for a new mission in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, He's redemptive, right? He's doing a redeeming work. We got to hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter what it's looking like, His end result will be redemption.
Mm-hmm.
His end result will be his plan, because it's ultimately to fulfill his plan on earth, and so as it is in the heavens. And so, you know, we see it that he changed Abram's name, right, meaning high father, to what? A father of multitude, okay? Sarai's name, right, which was princess, to Sarah, meaning mother of nations. And I can keep going and going, but what I will say is I believe, and I just want to pray, that he will give us a new name. A new name in our nation, a new name in the gathering nations, the surrounding nations. He will give us a new name for ourselves, a new name in our household, a new name over our generation. We have to believe that. We have to contend for that. We have to desire. God, place a new name over us, over the situation, a redemptive name, a redemptive name. And so right now, if anyone is without hope today, you know, and your name followed a lot of like baggage, right? And your name followed a past that is not so good, and it holds you back, trust the Lord. Ask him for a new name, a new name of redemption, a new name that if it was a desolate land, let it be a land filled with milk and honey. You know, if it was a forgotten place, let it be a place that people just desire to go. And so that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, grab a hold. I'm trying to release a new name over us. And so that's just my prayer today, that we receive that new name. We come to recognize that he's so good to give us a new name.
Hallelujah. A new name written down in glory. Hallelujah. We has, you know, when we're born again.
Yes.
You know, he makes everything new.
Yes.
But we don't live there. We don't live in the newness. We don't live in the, you know, what he created for us.
Yeah. The new mission. Like, there's a new mission. There's a new mission. And we hang on to the old. We can't seem to let go of the old.
We try to live as believers doing it the old way.
Yes.
When he's given us a new thing.
Yeah.
He came to give us life.
Yeah. And it says the new name was a way to reveal the divine plan and also to assure them that God's plan will be fulfilled in them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, so, you know, I just keep seeing. I think we're all doing our best to figure out this new thing, right? But yeah, we still like, it's so unsure. I haven't been again this way before. Like, let us just revert. And we kick in, you know? And gosh, let's just sit and wait. You know, let's just sit and wait and just say, God, what's, I don't know. I'm desiring a new name today. I don't know about you guys. I know I received a new name when I was born again, but amen. I want a new name for the new mission in my life.
Amen.
So all those that are with me, but if none go with me, I shall go.
Well, okay, I'm going to read this thing because this is your, this will help you. It's Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. I'm going to go on. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the before all and the end of all. Hallelujah. Blessed, happy, and to be envied are those who cleanse their garments, that they may have the authority and right to approach the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city. Hallelujah. Blessed is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, yes. Lord.
And I, you know, I just, here I am back to the Olympics. So, Sydney. No, because the Lord is like really like awakening me to, the, you know, the spiritual parallels. So, Sydney, I think McLaughlin, I think that's her name, when she, whatever race that was, she was so far out ahead of everyone else. And I just saw that, you know, when she, it was like she was going after the prize, right? Mm-hmm. So when she finished the race, you know, then she gets the crown, but then that's when everything begins. Mm. She did what she had to do to get there to win the race. And we have to do that with the Lord. And if you look at those runners, they're all very lean. And they don't they don't get that way, you know, eating donuts and junk food and stuff.
Oh.
So that is part of the discipline. They put away fleshly desires so that, what are you guys doing?
All right, Karen, you know.
We are foodies, Karen. You know, we
well,
are.
I know, to go
I know but
Lord help
it's,
us.
It's
Lord
an
help
analogy.
Us. Slenderize us, get rid of the fat.
Exactly, but that's the whole point. In the spirit,
yes,
you know, we carry
that's right.
stuff
yeah.
that we don't need to be carrying.
Go
we need
there.
To, it's. Well, you know, as in the natural, so in the spirit. So we'll slim down. but yeah, so spiritually, we need to slim down, which is to get rid of our fleshly, you know, where our flesh controls us.
Mm,
you
yes,
know, and
yes,
a runner.
This is true.
You know,
yes.
those runners and those all of those athletes, mm-hmm. they put away
Amen.
The bad stuff, the stuff that's gonna hold them back, the stuff that's gonna keep them,
yes,
you know, that, like, think about the aerodynamics, mm-hmm. you know, when they're running, they have a certain way that they run,
mm-hmm.
and they make use of every, you know, every step
Amen.
And every arm
Amen.
Thing, and that is discipline.
Yes.
So just transfer that over to our spiritual discipline,
mm-hmm.
you know, and putting away, because we have to decide mm-hmm. to do it. We have to
yes.
decide to put off
mm-hmm.
the old man
mm-hmm.
and to crucify the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, of course, it's that lifelong process, but just kill it. Let's kill it.
mm-hmm.
Get lean. Lean in the spirit so that, you know, when the Lord calls upon you to do something, you're fit and ready to go.
Mm.
And that you'll be able to accomplish great
yeah.
feats that he
yeah.
gives you to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm done with the Olympics.
yeah, no, and I'm seeing it deeper and deeper, you know, as like, because there's so much the runner undergoes
mm-hmm.
and we forget,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's no stopping.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. The runner cannot stop.
Mm-hmm.
At least I don't think so.
And they don't stop when they cross the line either.
Yeah,
that's right.
They continue all the way through
right.
and past.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, you have all of these things going on, not only in your body, right? Because you have to like manage your breaths,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it can work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of manage your heart,
mm-hmm.
you know? You know, so you're breathing and your heart and at the same time, you know, you're sweating, I'm sure, profusely, you know, and it's like going over your eyes. And something about the wind, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Going against
mm-hmm.
the wind, because you have to have the wind work for you,
mm-hmm.
not against you. Because, you know, I know sometimes when it gets windy and I'm walking out there, you know, which, mind you, it hasn't been windy at all. It's been dry and
but you have been walking.
Overheated, but well, not as much as I used to. I went out one day these 2 weeks. Let's just be honest. But I went, you know, you when I used to walk, and you know, especially during the winter months, you know, that breeze sometimes would like really come against me, mm-hmm. and I would be like and I had to work extra hard. So can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like times in our life
mm-hmm.
where we feel like everything that's in us
mm-hmm.
is displayed at that moment. Everything in us is necessary for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's nothing in us,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to
get yet,
through.
And yet the Holy Spirit is described as a wind. And all we have to do is, because when the Lord describes us as eagles, all we have to do is lift our wings
mm-hmm.
and the wind takes us up. You know, that's one of the beautiful pictures that the scriptures bring. And it's awesome, you know. And especially, you know, I must say, I'm so, so thankful for the Lion of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because every depiction of the lion is so beautifully representative of him, you know. And again, you know, it helps us in this race, because life is that race that we're heading towards the prize. And the prize, as we've said, is Jesus saying, behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me.
Mm-hmm.
Rewards, yes, we're looking at that word, rewards, with me, you know, to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's to encourage. That's mm-hmm. the little carrot that's dangled in front of us, you know. Come on, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a reward. So it's good to take heart in that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Let me read this. It's kind of a prayer that I got yesterday when I was thinking about the Olympics. So, and that you would be encouraged by this. And I pray that we would reach to take hold of all that Jesus has died to give us. Let us reach deep down inside, knowing that our hope comes from him and our help comes from him, the maker of heaven and earth. It is you, O God, who has designed our lives, and you have given good gifts to men. And Lord, you expect us to use those gifts to bring glory and honor to your name. Our God and our Father, with your help, we train just as the athletes train.
Amen.
We buffet our bodies. Mm-hmm. We crucify every fleshly desire.
Amen.
We command our flesh.
Yes.
And we tell it what it's going to do. Just as the athletes are lean and strong and healthy, so are we becoming strong and healthy in the spirit, with nothing to hold us back or impede the wind. That the aerodynamic presence of the Holy Spirit enables us to breeze through things and enables us to hurdle and bulldoze over obstacles and over all the issues of life. And Lord, we just say that you are my God, and early I will seek you.
Amen.
My life revolves around you. My desires revolve around you. My plans and ideas revolve around you. My hopes and dreams and my success revolves around you. For you and you alone can help me to achieve the purpose for which you have called.
Amen. Amen. And there's just another aspect of the Olympics. They've left their home country, and mm-hmm. I'm going to speak about England briefly, if I may. I must lift up England. You know, they've left their home country. And the turmoil in the streets, a part of the, in quotes, chaos that's happening everywhere, worldwide. But they've left their country. They've got to concentrate on being a good athlete, running the race and winning the race, despite what's happening in their homeland, despite the fact of what's being uncovered in England. It's been a boiling pot for so many years. It has been a I wept last time I was in England. I wept at the state, you know, what it was not the England that I'd left, 20 odd years ago, different. And I wept because it's like we said, everything from the bottom has to come up to the top, and it stinks, you know. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord is going to work. And I pray for these athletes to keep their mind mentally where they are and spiritually where they've got to go back to, where they're going back to, whichever country it is. You know, it's for them, it's hard. It's a double-edged sword. You know, they've got to deal with what's happening where they are, the competition, whatever, whatever comes against them. And you know, no, you can't say this, no, you can't do that, and well, it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, you know, que sera, sera. And then now, you know, they have to go back home to face whatever's happening in their homeland. It's God.
Yeah,
it's exactly. God, and it's for such a time as this.
Amen. And, you know, and there's videos of many of them gathering together.
Yes.
Worshiping.
Yes.
Oh, worshiping. Yeah, I saw that. That I did see, yes.
And just singing to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
To me, I feel like the Lord is, you know, this is not just a regular Olympics. Mm-hmm. This because of the chaos, like you're talking about, everything going on, that the Olympics is different this year. Opened up, you know, with in your face.
Blasphemy.
This is what's going on in the culture.
Blasphemy. Mm-hmm.
And though many felt that Christians should not participate in it, no, the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and let your light shine before men. Amen. That they may see your good works and glorify
the Father. And make disciples.
Amen.
That's right. So, praise God. We still got a few more minutes, about 3 minutes.
I'm hoping we made some sense.
Yeah, Lord of Hosts, and then the Olympics.
Yes.
The Olympics. Mm-hmm. Because that's like the, you know, like they used to say, you know, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Ooh,
you know, and all those exciting terms that they would use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I noticed with this one that it just doesn't seem to have it, like the coverage of it.
Yes.
It seems very flat.
Yes.
Very flat and like, okay, yes, you know, we had the men's 400 meter. You know, and it's very flat, whereas in the past, it was always celebratory, and the coverage was, you know, you would, but anyway.
That's something I have noticed, is the coverage of any of the good, of the of news is being so restricted, you know, to catch hold of the truth of what is happening is so restricted. It's just, you know, it's hard to listen to what the Lord is say. I think that's why the Lord is conferring in us. See with your eyes and hear with your ears what my Holy Spirit is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is being twisted and is in chaos. So that's our only mainstay. That's our place of safety. It's Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Truth is coming out, though. It's coming. It's out there.
It is.
It is.
And the Lord is still on his throne.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
He's good, and his mercy endures forever.
Yes.
And nothing's a surprise to him.
The sky's not falling.
That's Chicken Little. I love Chicken Little. Because eventually the sky did fall. They didn't believe him before.
I didn't read the book, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I don't
it's adorable.
Okay.
I highly recommend it.
Okay. Karen.
All right, we'll leave you with this. And this is a quote from Oswald Chambers. And he said, "The goal of faithfulness is not that we will do the work for God, but that he will be free to do his work through us."
Amen.
God calls us to his service and places tremendous responsibilities on us. He expects no complaining on our part and offers no explanation on his part. God wants to use us as he used his own son.
Mm.
Praise Amen. God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm
going
to have to hang on to that for a while.
Amen.
Merciful you, are you.
Mm. Hallelujah. Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
So
undeserving.
So that's it for today, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us. And again, we never know which direction the Lord's going. I knew I had to talk about the Olympics, and you guys talked about what the Lord was revealing to you. So
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He works all things together for good
mm-hmm.
to yes, those that love him, to those that are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Praise Amen. God. All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.